You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
We say good morning to my co-host and colleague on a Friday. We missed you last Friday, but we understand. Matters of importance. Court.
Yes.
We want people to be free. Good morning to you, Madam Andisa West.
Good morning.
How was your week? Your week was good?
It was.
Freddie Michael. No, yeah, you could go to it, right? I'm going to make sure we... Yeah,
right. You hear me better.
Yeah,
now.
You taking notes?
Well, yeah, I also prepared for court.
Now, you do your thing. I understand that as well. You do your thing. I mean, another edition of Justice is here with us. Another vote came in that says no. Another texter says, good morning. Oh, yes, good morning, Mr. Henry Hamlet, boy. Why this name sounding familiar so, boy? It's as though I know this dude, boy. It's Mr. Henry Hamlet. Looks familiar. All right, good morning to you, Mr. Hamlet. Thank you very much for making Freedom 106.5 FM your choice of morning radio. All right, so I have something I want to play for you guys. It's coming off the heels of the morning poll question this morning. And Lisa, take a listen to this.
Mr. Speaker, as I close, I wish to end as I started. As uncomfortable as that might be, for as a truth for my friends on the other side, and as uncomfortable as it may be for some of our scions of industry on the outside, the definition of gang applies to them in the same way that all of our laws apply to them. Now, not every law in every society is going to be universally liked. That is something that President Kennedy said. But you know what? They must be universally obeyed. And an infraction of the law by the powerful is, and the 1% is no different from an infraction of the law by the poor little black youths in Mova and Lavanter. We are not here speaking to action taken by our allies in the north. We have no control over that. What we do have control over is what our law enforcement tells us about some of the activities of these persons. The time when they received the keys to the city and license to mash up the place, that time is over. Whatever my personal consequences, whatever the consequences are for the Prime Minister, I think it may be too much for them to chew all of us. We are prepared for that. The government will not be deterred in its... In its drive against gang-related crime and gang-related activity, I ask, Mr. Speaker, given the gains that we have achieved with the state of emergency, I seek the extension of the state of emergency. Mr. Speaker, I beg to move.
Honourable members, I shall now propose the question.
Now, I know he's a woman that's backed the DPP. Yeah. High praises for the DPP as a legal luminary in this country, in this society. What do you feel about the Attorney General?
I also backed the Attorney General.
You said anything different?
I also backed Senior Counsel John Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he said sounds good in principle, that the laws of our country should apply to everyone without mm-hmm. discrimination. Mm-hmm. But the undertones of the of what was said, and I mean even before that, earlier on in his speech when I listened, he also mentioned that Tetron awaits
6, 7 and 8.
And Tetron. The thing is, I actually recently had the what I call that the opportunity, boy. I had to visit a client in Tetron.
How was it?
It's a very interesting situation because attorneys are blindfolded to meet them. So what a case is that, well, you have to request it beforehand. I mean, it's a Tetron and they are placed there for a reason, so obviously there would be a process, not knocking that process. So you have to request beforehand. When you get there, you wait until prison officers arrive, and then the prison officers, and I guess it would be army officials because they are all masked, and they then drive you to a point and the driver couldn't go further than there. So you come out the vehicle, they blindfold you, and then you enter their vehicle blindfolded and they carry you to wherever they have the individuals in touch run, and you are only, the blindfold is only removed when you're in the room with your client, because I guess the whole point of it is that they don't want anyone to have any idea of where exactly the men are being held at touch run. So to threaten Tetron. Tetron is a very interesting place. And even when I was speaking to the person, he mentioned to me that he now learns how to plait his own hair because he have nothing else to do there, because, you know, they can't get any visits. They don't know what's going on because they don't have access to the news or anything like that. So they're really just there waiting until, whenever that until is. So to threaten Tetron, in my opinion, have my views.
It's like solitary confinement, though.
And I mean, an attorney did challenge it before.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was CJ Williams. He challenged the whole concept that attorneys have to be blindfolded to go meet their clients at Tetron. It was heard before Justice James, and he indicated that it isn't unconstitutional because there are alternatives, meaning that attorneys would be able to set up virtual visits with the men there. But in my case, I had no choice but to go to Tetron because I needed him to sign a document. You can't sign a document through virtual. So it's a very interesting situation, I would say. I mean, imagine being blindfolded to go and meet a client, and then even when you're there, the officers are still around and all these different things. So it's not like if you could have like a full frank conversation with your clients. I guess that they don't want, I don't know the justification, but Tetron, in my opinion,
it's
not a nice place. Yeah.
So he learned to plait his own hair. He sits there all day. There's no television, not even my papers.
He
can get a book to write something.
But I don't think so. I don't, because even the document that I carried to read, he sat and he read it, and he was like, you know, Lauren, I never read something. It was one of the most interesting things that I've done in a while. And I mean, I do criminal law, so I deal with criminal matters every day. But that was one of the most interesting things.
He said he hasn't read something in a while.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not bashing the situation. I guess that the government have reasons or their justification for placing the persons there. I have always said that I am a supporter of our criminal justice system and the actors within the criminal justice system, and everybody have their part to play.
Mm-hmm.
The same way how the prosecution have their part to play, the defense have their part to play. But I generally think that Tetron is a bit interesting. And some of the inmates there, you know, they don't necessarily, you just took me from the general population and placed me in a area that nobody know where exactly I am, exactly on the premises. Masked men are feeding me daily. Would you eat from masked men or in a place that you just won't move to?
Well, I go dead.
Exactly. If so I'm not sure, but I'm certain that there are prisoners there who probably isn't eaten because they would refuse because they're thinking, you know, you're trying a smart shot. So and I've heard that there are persons there who are getting small because they aren't eaten because they don't trust the food that is being provided to them that by masked men every day, because all the officers who deal with them every day are masked.
So the ones who was surrounding you, they were masked?
Yeah. I didn't see the officer's face.
But were they army personnel or police?
I presume it's army personnel because it's a Tetron. So it's a mixture of army.
The clothing. You may not know that.
They were in black.
Black camo or just black?
They were in black. So I'm not saying that. I presume they are army officials.
We presume. We're not sure.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting, and I thank you so much, Andisa, for sharing that experience. I mean,
yeah. And again, I always choose what I say extremely carefully because I don't want it to appear as though what I'm saying, you know. But my opinion is that that's a very interesting place to put persons
to mention.
Who aren't, and those persons aren't convicted of any crimes as yet. They are on remand.
I believe
one or two are, because I know one or two persons who recently did their trial and they were convicted, but more than likely they are appealing and they are there. But there are also a mixture of persons who are on remand.
Can we see if, you know what, I need to take a break.
You're tuned into the all new Freedom 106.5.
Good morning again, and welcome back to Freedom 106.5 FM. You're listening to Justice with Andisa West and Davey Murray.
Yes, good morning, and this morning we have a very special birthday going out to Chamonix.
Yes. Chamonix is celebrating 67. Chamonix is 67 years. So Chamonix, Andisa and I would like to send some greetings for you.
Yes, happy birthday. I mean, another year in the land of the living is always amazing, and I hope that this next year, 67 is a whole lot of wisdom, lot of love, a whole lot of life that you have lived, and I hope that you completely enjoy this next year, this
All
next
right.
coming year.
Coming down from the team from Justice, and I mean, 67 is a long time, and as Andisa mentioned, that is wisdom.
It's
at
a good time.
It's a great time.
Yes.
And you know, I met Chamonix by the fish vendors out there, the Green Tent in Caroni. If all you go down and buy fish, go by the Green Tent. You will get a nice deal. I just always get a nice... I just see them game... Chamonix get a nice deal yesterday. So go and buy some fish now, man. They don't have no crab, so don't buy that. You get shark, you get everything down there. Check out them fellas by the Green Tent. And Chamonix, enjoy the rest of your day and the entire balance of the next year that you're coming into. All right, as we continue with our conversations this morning, just about 25 minutes on the upswing to the hour of 8 o'clock. You're into Justice this morning. Let's take a phone call quickly and respectfully. Good morning.
A pleasant good morning once more, Davey. A pleasant good morning, Andisa.
Davey,
there are a couple of things I want to mention here. And Andisa, I'll tell you something. A few months ago, I was asked by a young attorney to accompany her to Tetuan. And I tell myself, I say that, for me, I don't want to get involved in that back and out. That could be dangerous. And I don't think she went at all. I don't know if it's the same matter that you are involved in. But anyway, Davey, earlier this week, some issue you had disagreed with, and I told you that when the Goodley Council is here, we will discuss it. I don't remember what matter was.
Yes, we
will. If you remember, we will discuss it.
Yeah, you did say that, and when the council reach, we will talk.
But I forget which matter. But anyway, Davey, if you remember, we could discuss it eventually. Davey. Earlier this week, one of your poll questions was with regard to if it is that prisoners should be allowed to practice their religion in the prison system.
Mm-hmm. All rights. They should be allowed all rights, not just the practice.
Well, I wouldn't
but
say
allowed
all rights.
Rights.
And I'll tell you why. Because I beg to disagree. If you're in prison, of course, you can't do things as you want to. Prisoners are a system also, right? And they have rules and they have regulations there. I am saying that you should be able to practice your religion. However, if it is that your religion in requires that you wear a certain garb and you perform certain rites in a certain way, I am saying that should not be allowed. Because take, for instance, as a Hindu, if you want to perform a puja, you have to get murtis and you have to get things and you have to... that should not be allowed in the prison. The prison, you can sit down and pray to your God as you want to, but the thing is that not in the manner that somebody on the outside should. So I will want to get Anissa's view on that, and that's my take on it. We have to understand that prison is prison, and we have to understand that there are rules and regulations in the prison. Davey, I'll tell you something. As I say that, let me just close on this. Long ago, and I'm talking about many years ago, a prisoner, the first thing they do for a male, that is, they shave, they cut their hair low. It tells you a certain amount of decency and so on. Police officers, all defense force and so on, everybody had to cut their hair low, no beard and so on. Today I'm seeing things differently, and I believe that uniformity, it worked in the past, and that should not have changed. It has changed now. But the thing is that I think that we abuse, you know, democratic rights. I thank you, enjoy. So I wait for your response on this, sir.
All rights to practice.
Well, the matter involving the prisoners who are challenging the ability to... they weren't allowed to celebrate Eid al-Adha last year. I am actually one of the councils on the matter. So I don't necessarily want to say too much. But I think it's a situation. I mean, it is coming up for hearing before Justice Ram Prasad. And hopefully when it is completed, I'd be able to talk more in depth on the particular matter, but I would note that it is a situation where they have been allowed to celebrate Eid al-Adha in the past. And I mean, they already made arrangements. The imam was outside waiting, and only at that point he was told that he wouldn't be able to go in. So even
let me chime in there. We gotta remember, folks, that we are in a very peculiar situation in Trinidad and Tobago and D. So this is an SOE. This is a not.
No, but that, this was not last year.
This is a SOE.
This occurred in last year, 2025.
Was it during an SOE?
I don't believe it was during an SOE.
Well, we had to find out that.
And even if it was, what is the justification?
The justification is we are under. If it was during a state of emergency,
right?
People's constitutional rights across the board have been suspended or infringed upon. A bit, your constitutional rights would be infringed upon a little bit. So if you was accustomed to getting something done, remember the police don't need a warrant if they have reasonable suspicion or information to get into your house.
But that is stated very specifically in the emergency powers regulations. That's in the emergency powers regulation, it doesn't state that you're not allowed to practice your religion in Trinidad and Tobago during an SOE. It doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't. Exactly. But remember, when you are sitting in the... We're leaving just now. Don't worry. Yes, sir, you're getting a message. Mm-hmm. When we are in the prison... isn't our rights already suspended? Isn't our freedom of movement curtailed a bit?
Well, I mean, your freedom of movement, that's one right, but that's not all your rights.
Right, but so we do have limited rights. Are you allowed, if you're in the prison in the remand section, mm-hmm. to get, you could jump in a car, you could come out of the prison, jump in a car, go to the mosque, go to the Hindu temple, go to the Kingdom Hall, go to a church, go to the wherever place of worship and come back?
So the thing about it is, I mean, we had several discussions in the past about bail and persons being able to allow bail or not. And persons have their views on whether somebody should be granted bail or not. But the first thing when I'm making a bail application, I note that the person is presumed innocent.
Until
and
proven guilty.
The whole point of this person being on remand is until they're still innocent, until they are proven guilty.
Right.
They are still going through the court system. And at that point, if the court then denies them bail, they are placed in custody. So that's based on that. That's why they can't necessarily move wherever they want to. But that doesn't mean that every single right that they have under the Constitution, including their freedom of expression, their freedom to practice the religion, is also suspended.
These persons
are on remand.
Are you
in
familiar?
The Port of Spain prison? They are not convicted prisoners.
Are you familiar and with Adha? What entails? What does it entail? You familiar with it?
Yes, because that's the celebration where they generally. Well, they have prayers, so they have a mm-hmm. morning prayer, and they also slaughter
right.
an animal.
So be careful.
And they didn't ask to slaughter an animal.
I was
what they asked to do is to
chicken?
Be taken out of their cell to pray.
So
which they have been allowed to do in the past. And I would even argue, and I don't want to go too in-depth in this because this has to go before Justice Hamza, but I would say we also have something called a legitimate expectation in law. And if in the past, all the other years, and even if you're saying it was an SOE at the point in time, prison officials made arrangements with the imam to come. So even if they were saying that he wouldn't be able to do it, then why did you make the arrangements for the imam to come into the prison to allow them to pray? They aren't asking to slaughter any animals. They're just asking to go out and pray at a particular time.
Well, here it is.
Which they weren't allowed to do.
Here it is.
You guys want to spin it, turn it, topple it over, these persons are not convicted of any particular offense. They are on remand. They are presumed innocent until they are proven guilty. Some of them may be shown innocent in the future. We don't know. It has to go through before the court.
All right.
But you see, the thing is,
what happens is
that you'll see someone charged for an offense.
And they are
possibly in custody because they were denied bail. And you automatically presume that these persons
are guilty. Yeah.
And they shouldn't be treated as citizens. And all their rights should be suspended, which I don't believe makes any sense whatsoever. Especially in a situation where these persons were allowed to do their prayer. They aren't asking to slaughter any animal in the prison in the past. And let's see what Justice Rampersad has to say.
I don't want to pronounce on it.
And I don't want...
So let's
do
not do
not
it.
Like talking about matters.
Let's not prejudice the case.
It's currently before the courts.
It's currently before the courts. But in the court of public opinion...
The public always have opinions.
And I am part of that court in the public.
And we love the fact that public
I say,
opinions.
All your prayers, pal. I do all your prayer. Right, Justice Rampersad, let the people pray to pray for. Please, I don't have a problem with that.
All I mean, we'd see. I mean, the whole point of these things is to determine, determine what is allowed and what is not allowed. Because obviously, whatever is the decision for these men, I mean, 27 of them challenging it right now, but it would also set the precedent for what would be allowed in the future. Mm-hmm. For not just Muslims, but also all other persons of all other religions. So, I mean, the whole point of it, even if he doesn't agree, it will just clarify an area that needed to be clarified. I mean, move forward from there.
My thing about it is, when the imam shows up and they go into the special part of the prison to pray, if they pray in the cell, God not going to hear? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know. Is it that the imam had to be there? Because you gotta understand something. I presumed innocence until proven guilty is fine. I have no problem with that. But I understand that there are things that will be suspended. You are not being if you are accustomed eating late in the night or in the evening, you're not eating at 3:00.
You don't have
4:00.
A right to eat at a particular time. That isn't a right in the Constitution. But you have a right to practice your religion. That's something. I'm certain I could point you in the Constitution where it says
I'm certain you probably can't when you lock up. But you could try.
What do you mean you can't when you lock up?
In the public quarter, not in the... I'm just thinking. Because if I get arrested, God forbid, I ain't going to do nothing for arrest.
And only when you are arrested and you're probably innocent and you're in going through system, then you'd realize why you still need to recognize the rights of these individuals. And like, I mean, sometimes people complain about the conditions of the prisons and then the response by members of the public, which they are entitled to, is saying that, well, you're not in high. How do you expect the prison to be? And it's only when you or you have a relative in prison and they have to be in a cell with 20 other persons and they're peeing and using the bathroom in a bucket that they can't throw out until the next day. Mm-hmm. Then you understand why someone who is presumed innocent shouldn't be in those type of situations. Then you'd understand why. And then you'd understand why, even though you're in custody because you were denied bail, that doesn't mean that all your rights are suspended. It does not mean that.
Quickly.
Morning. To your peer and morning to your guest. Well, she's not a guest again. She is the co-host.
Yes.
Yeah. I recently heard a tape recording of an exchange between a police prosecutor and a judge. I'd like to hear, but we'll set that aside for a moment. A child lost his life recently in very tragic circumstances.
Yeah.
And more than one individual was held. One person was charged. I'm calling no names. Yeah. One person was charged and the remaining other persons were allowed to leave. Additionally, a spouse shot their spouse in an incident and also the spouse lost their life. That person and all was allowed to go home in their house. Now, me as a citizen, I'm not sure that justice was done. Does the police have the authority? Where does the authority of the police end and the authority of the court begin? Because I feel that that determination is supposed to be made by a court, but instead it was made by the police. I'd like to hear your comments. I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Now, I think I sit with Andisa long enough to understand your question, and maybe I could respond in a minute, and Andisa can back me if I'm wrong, or back me if I'm correct or if I'm wrong. You mentioned the one person who's being charged and the other who got to go back home because she, you know, allegedly unalived her husband during a domestic dispute, allegedly. The thing about it is this. The police didn't make that decision. The facts, circumstances following the investigation would determine whether they send a file to the DPP or not. And I don't think she just went to the police station and went back home. She was in custody for a little while. A couple days, she was held for a few days. So they would have consulted with the legal luminaries and they would have realized, okay, based on the facts presented, there's no need to charge this lady. It's what we will determine a justifiable homicide. All right? Because the standing ground law is speaking to justification if you take someone's life.
Well, self-defense, yes.
In self-defense, right? So if you take someone's life in self-defense because the person was coming with a knife and as they're coming down with a knife, you shoot and they're dead. Because had you missed that bullet, missed them, you would have been injured or fatally injured. And that is still a homicide. But the courts can determine it as a justifiable homicide. Just like if police in a shootout and the bandit shooting the police and the police shoot back and the bandit dead. Justifiable homicide. So we don't know the facts. But that was Davey in the Court of Public Opinion as one of the co-hosts on Justice. I am now going to turn it over to the legal mind.
Yeah, so it's essentially that. So what, as I explained before, what usually occurs is that the police would conduct their investigation. They will go, they will retrieve whatever CCTV footage that they can get, take statements from the persons who may have witnessed the events and the persons involved in the incident. At the end of their investigation, they will put together the file. I think they sometimes recommend what they think should happen, and it would be up to the DPP. The DPP under the Constitution is who have the power to charge, initiate criminal proceedings or discontinue criminal proceedings. So that is usually up to the DPP after the police officers have conducted their investigation. And it's only when it goes before the court, if they are in fact charged, that the court will then be able to do certain things. So at that point, at that initial time after the incident, it would be up to the police officers firstly to conduct their investigation, and then for the DPP to determine if they are going to charge the individual. And obviously, it would depend on the facts of the case. Each matter, it can't just be a situation where somebody is dead that this is going to be the outcome. They have to conduct the investigation to determine the exact situation or what exactly occurred. If this person was acting in self-defense, if this person have any other lawful defense that they could rely on, and they'd move from there.
So in essence, what we are saying to that caller is that don't play the card like, you know, them have money, so because them have money, you know, that mean them get off. No. I'm quite certain persons of that ilk in society, their house have are cameras.
Yeah.
So they would have retrieved those footage. Maybe there was, and those cameras have audio these days. Gone are the days when, so they might be hearing the cussing, the quarreling. We don't know.
So it would definitely depend on what
they
recovered that, as their evidence.
Mm-hmm. And whether or not they charge or choose not to. But they don't make a decision to charge or not to charge haphazardly and just so.
And I mean, I sat in a few interviews where they were doing an interview with suspects for murders. And when they have the CCTV footage, they'll show you it. They usually show you it during the interview, and they were like, is this you? So they show you exactly all the evidence that they have.
That's called disclosure.
Yeah, and then, well, obviously we had to get disclosure afterwards as well, but at that initial point, they'll still show it, and they'll note in the interview notes that the footage was shown to the individual, and so on. And as I said, even in the situation where this young lady, she stabbed someone, I believe, on George Street, and they show her it, you could have seen in the footage that he essentially lunged at her first, and at the end of it, and she doesn't have any large amount of money. She's from East Port of Spain, yeah, and at the end of it, they didn't make the decision to charge her. So it really and truly just depends, not only because the person has money or not. It really just depends on what evidence they have against the individual.
And me personally, I see nothing wrong with that. Good morning. Quickly.
Yeah, good morning, Dave.
Morning,
yeah,
I apologize for rushing.
Intentionally, you see the point. The point is not that there was evidence to let the lady go immediately. Mm-hmm. The point is that she had access to the DPP, while other people will take 15 years to do just what she was able to do.
Hold on. I do want to say something on people. What access to the DPP she had? What are you talking about?
By hiring a prominent lawyer who was able to fast track the case. It's nothing to do with no evidence.
No, well,
she was able to access that.
No,
is not what happened.
No, even I think what you're trying to say is that some persons may have money, may have the financial resources to hire a more prominent attorney than the other. But to be quite honest, and this isn't an opinion that they could decide yes or no, but once someone is in a police station and they are conducting inquiries for murder where someone has died, if the person isn't allowed to retain counsel on their own, the officers whom he said usually contacts legal aid, and legal aid would send a duty counsel to the individual. So even they usually don't conduct any interviews until the person retains their own attorney or they get an attorney from legal aid. And as I explained very many times before, just because it is a legal aid attorney, that doesn't mean that they are any less. I mean, obviously, some persons may have more experience, but
It doesn't mean
even
that
persons less on the private bar, even persons on the private bar sits as duty counsel on the legal aid board. So once someone is before, well, they are in the police station and they are conducting inquiries in relation to a murder, they would more than likely ask the person if they have, if they're retaining their own counsel. Counsel would make their way to the police station. But if they don't, they have to contact legal aid, and legally will send a duty counsel for this person. So they generally have an attorney there helping them, and the attorney would sit into any interviews and they would do the bail application for them.
Right.
And at that point afterwards, they would possibly appoint a public defender to assist the person. So even if the person doesn't have the finances to retain their own attorney, they ensure that the person at least have some type of legal representation to their avail.
Well said. Quickly, good morning.
Good morning, Davey.
Good morning. Your host. Quickly.
All right. What County Central was speaking about is transferring an asset of a deceased person without probating a will or getting a letter of administration. And we are referring to the maxi taxi drivers trying
okay,
to give
that,
them
okay. Well, let me cut you there. I apologize. I do apologize. But we can't talk about that this morning. That is a matter for a future show, all right? With the transferring of funds. You brought on something there in the dregs of our program this morning. I do apologize. I don't mean to cut you, but we really can't discuss that right now. All right, when I say quickly, it's pertaining to what we're discussing, right? The Attorney General could have been more diplomatic and say, whatever percentile you belong to, the law applies. Mm-hmm. He would have gotten his message across. I disagree with that. I have no problem with what the Attorney General say, to be honest with you. You had to be brutal, blunt, and honest with your feelings.
I think that what he said in principle is quite fine, that the law should apply to everybody. But I feel like if the undertones of it, where it appears to be targeted to one particular group in society, is a bit interesting.
Morning, guys. I mean, I don't like the use of the word slaughter as it pertains to Eid al-Adha. The word is sacrifice.
Yes, sorry, my apologies.
To commemorate the sacrifice of Abraham when God commanded him to sacrifice his son. And he went into the wilderness to sacrifice his son. And at the last minute, God stopped him and allowed him to sacrifice a ram instead. So Eid al-Adha is the commemoration of that sacrifice, that willingness to give up your will for the sake of the will of God.
You know, there's one thing I would say with that. It's not something...
No, I would take that correction, and regardless of how you feel about it, that's what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a democracy. Persons are allowed to perform and believe in whatever they believe in. I take that correction.
But it doesn't breach the law. But that concludes our edition of Justice for Today. We thank all of you for chiming in with us this morning. So many messages and WhatsApps on the board, but we can't take all. But we do thank you for taking a thorough interest into what we discuss every Friday, minus last Friday. your parents sent a written note for your absence.
And mind you, today we're supposed to talk about the emergency powers regulations, but we're so pressed for time.
So here's what we're going to do, all right? I'll probably get Andisa middle of the week on the phone to answer a couple of questions or do something with us really quickly earlier morning next week as we talk about these emergency powers.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.